Tonight, we are going to talk about the Ben Sorer Umorah, the rebellious son. And when you think about the Ben Sorer Umorah and the crime and the punishment, it seems that the punishment is it's a cruel and unusual punishment. It seems that it's one of these situations where the punishment seems to be more severe than the crime. On the surface, it seems that way. If you look in the Parsha, in Parshas Kisetse Perachof Aleph, Pasuk Yudches, so the Pasuk tells you, Ki yeh le'ish ben sorer morah, if a person has a son who is sorer umorah. Those are strange words anyway, because sorer from the word sar turns aside, perhaps from the straight and narrow path, morah from the word Mamrim, maybe rebellious. It's the way Rashi understands both of those words. He's not listening to his father and his mother's voice. For Yisro, so, and they, Yisro, they, I don't know, Liaser, they give him Musar, maybe, comes similar as Musar. Velo Yishma Lehem, and he doesn't listen to them. But Tafsibo Vivimo and his parents grab him, Votsio Sol El Zigne Iro, Vel Shamakomo, and they bring him to the elders of the city, to the gate of the place. It's where they have all the big, maybe court cases or just important things happen. And Va'amru El Zigne Iro, and they will say to the parents will say to the elders of the city, Benenu Zeh Sorer Umoreh, Einenu Shemeh B'Koleinu, Zolel V'Soveh. Our son, this one, is Sorer Umorah. He doesn't listen to our voices. And he's also Zolel Visoveh. So he's got these other two things which he doesn't do well. He's Zolel and Soveh. And then what happens? Ugamuhu Kol Anshei Rov Amanim V'Meis. So the entire city, all the inhabitants of the city, stone him, and he dies. Uvit V'Yartara Mikirbecha. And the evil, you'll eradicate the evil from your midst. And all of Klal Yisrael will listen and they will fear. Okay. So the Ben Sorer Umorah, the crime seems to be that he's, again, Sorer Umorah. He's not listening to his parents. His parents warn him, but to no avail. They bring him to the elders. They state his crimes and the child is killed. We have to answer four questions, at least. What actually does he do wrong? Why is he punished so severely? Why can only the parents bring him to the elders? And why is it such a public spectacle? Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yirao. So we'll try to address that the Mefarshim that I have here address at least some of these questions here. So the first question I want to ask is, so what's the crime? What is he doing here? What's he doing here? Well, if you look at the Psukim, what do you think he's doing here? He's Sorer Umorah, Einah Shemeah.
He's not doing the mitzvot. He's not keeping the mitzvot.
What makes you say he's not keeping mitzvot?
Well, his parents, first of all, his parents, Einah Shemeah, they presumably raised him a certain way. And Sorer, you said before, means sar. So he's sar. He left the derech,
okay,
let's say.
So, okay. Okay. Not so clear, right? I mean, maybe, right? Sami the derech, okay. Someone, you say a kid, anyone who goes off the derech, we stone him in at least biblical times. It's pretty
Well,
harsh.
maybe he's over Kibbutz Av. I mean,
Okay.
he doesn't, I mean, that's.
Yeah. Okay. Well, right. He's not listening to his parents. So again, but he's getting the death penalty for not listening to his parents. It seems, severe. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says. That, right, what does Rashi do? Rashi says that, just if you just keep it, well, if you just if you have a comment, just you can unmute. Rashi says, Sorer, Sar Min HaDerech, what I said, he departs from the path. Moreh, Misarei B'divrei Aviv, he refuses, doesn't listen to his parents. Lashon Mamrim, okay. So and then the Yisro also Rashi's Masrim Bo, Bifnei Shlosha Malkinoso. They ward him in front of three people, and they give him lashes. Ben Tzor Amora Einu Chayv Ad Sheyigno V'yochal Tartimar Basa V'yishta Chatzi Log Yayin. So Ben Tzor Amora is sentenced to the death penalty if he steals and eats meat and wine. So the question is, where do you get this from? So we know that the things he's doing is Sorer Mora, Einesh V'Mekol Aviv, but then later on in Pasuk Chaf, they say that the child is Zolel V'Sove. And Rashi cites the Mishlei, where the terms Sove and Zolel, Sove refers to wine, gluttonous when it comes to wine, and Zolel when it comes to meat. So we're putting all these pieces together, and the child doesn't listen to his parents. He is stealing meat and drinking wine, even after being warned and punished. The Ramban says, Ben Sora Mor, Al Das Rebbe Seidu, Eino Katan, he's not a child. Shakatan Patu, Bikol Onshi Batorah. A child is exempt from the punishment. So he has to be old enough. So we call him Mitzvahua, maybe Shtei Saros. He has to be a certain age. Bine Yesh Allah, he has to have he has to be physically mature. Yes, he deserves two punishments. So to an extension of what Dave said, he's sort of makla, I don't know if it's cursing, but he's rebelling against them. So he's rebelling against his parents, and he's violating the Torah obligation of Kedoshim to you of being someone who's not holy. But it seems, again, it seems very harsh punishment for these crimes. So this could be why the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph tells us, there's a brisa, Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Huda says, Im lo haisa imo shave la'aviv b'kol uvamara uvakol ma'enu nasa ben saramora. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the mother and the father do not have the same sounding voice, the same complexion, and the same height, same stature, the child will not be a ben saramora. My time, what's the reason? Damar Kra, because the pasuk says, einenu shomea b'kolenu. They don't listen to our voice, midikol, from our voice, not our voices, our voice, midikol b'yidon shaveh. So since the voice has to be the same, so also mar v'kol b'yidon shaveh. So the appearance and the stature has to be the same, and based on Rabbi Yehuda, so then the Gemara wants to say, kaman azla, like who is this? The hadetanya, ben soramora, lohiya v'lo asid lios, v'lo v'nichtav drosh v'kabo schar. So apparently there's a teaching from the Tanaitic times that there was never ever a case of Ben Sorer or Moreh. So why is it written in the Torah? To learn from it and receive reward. Keman ke Rabbi Yehuda. So this is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, right? In other words, the way Rabbi Yehuda understands Ben Sorer or Moreh is that the Torah creates a halachic ruling under some circumstances that is almost impossible to be carried out, but it's irrelevant whether it's carried out or not. There must be a message in this halachic situation, even if it's never carried out. In other words, the halachic situation here teaches us certain messages. That's what Rabbi Yehuda understands. It's because it's impossible. The Torah basically created a requirement that's almost impossible to fulfill. By the way, Ibai Seimer Rabbi Shimon here, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that there was never a case of Ben Sora Morah. The Tanya of Rabbi Shimon, V'chibib Nei Sha'achal Zeh Tartimor Basar V'shasa Chatzi Lug Yain Ha'itaki Ovev V'yum Otzin Oso L'saklo. How can it be, Rabbi Shimon said, because this guy eats meat and drinks wine, the father's going to bring him to his death? Elohaya velo asid lios. It's never going to happen. No parent is going to bring his child to be killed for a serious crime, let alone for eating meat and drinking wine. There is no parent is going to bring the child to be killed for being a glutton. Again, only the parents, so Rabbi Shimon basically understands the reason why the parents bring the reason why there's a requirement to bring for the parents to bring the child to the elders is so that this in practice doesn't happen. So in some sense, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon agree potentially that it never happens based on different requirements. Rabbi Shimon says, based on the requirement that the simple reading of the text, that the parents have to bring the child to be judged of Ben Soramor. Rabbi Huda, he wants to make an inference from the fact that it says Bekoleinu, that the voices have to be the same, but both of them take the view of this brisa that the Ben Soramora never happened. There is an opinion, the very end of this Gemara, Rav Yonason, Ani Re'isi V'Yishavta Kivro. No, I saw it, and I sat on the kever. So Rav Yonason does believe that there was a Ben Soramora. Just want to point out, I saw Rabbeinu Bachaye, who says, Umash Nimsa Sham, Rabbi Yochanan, Yashavti, I think it should be Rabbi Yonason, but Ani Yishavta Kivro, Ben Soramora. So he's the one who said, no, there really was a Ben Sarbor, there really was a Nidachas. F. Shalomar, the Polig of Brisa, maybe he argues that maybe this Rabbi Yonah, well, again, if it's Rabbi Yochanan, he's an Amora. So how can he argue on this Brisa, Ben Sarbor, Hayavalo Asilios? So how can he argue on the Brisa? Oh, Sheba, Had Rav Yochanan, Lohaya Ben Sarbor, Gabor, Ella Kidyan Avshalom. Maybe what Rav Yonason, or maybe some say Rav Yochanan, maybe what he's really saying is that, yeah, there was someone who was a wayward son who rebelled against his parents, like, you know, Avshalom in the Nach, in Navi, he rebelled against David HaMelech. There's when he's saying, I sat in his kever, he's referring to someone who was like a wayward son who rejected his parents' ways. But there was never someone who actually was judged, adjudicated to be a Ben Soramora, and was stoned to death for it. What emerges from this Gemara is that this punishment was either, according to some opinions, never carried out or almost never carried out. So if this punishment was never carried out or almost never carried out, so what's the message of the Ben Soramora? Okay? So I'm going to share with you five different approaches in the Mefarshim as to what is the significance, what is the message of the Ben Soramora. So what do you think is the message? Before I share with you, what do you think is the message of Ben Soramora? What's the Torah coming to teach us? When you hear about this halacha, what comes to mind? What message Torah want to share with us? Thoughts? No? Okay. So, first, Rashi Ramban. Uben Soramora Nerag al Shem Sofo, so he's killed. Remember, this is all theoretical, according to most opinions. The Ben Soramora is killed for what will come about. He get Torah the Sof Dato. The Torah sort of reaches sort of like the end of his thinking. Sof Shemachala Mama Avivi. The child, if a child rejects his parents' authority, doesn't respect them, doesn't listen to them, and he becomes a glutton, what's he going to do? He's going to empty out the savings of his parents. Muvakish the Muvena Motzi, he's trying to find some kind of job he won't be able to find because he's someone who's not, he's just someone who's just gluttonous all the time, he doesn't have any kind of ethics. Va'omeid b'parshas drachiv, and last time it's a bios, the only job he can have is stealing from people, being an armed robber. Amar Torah, Yomu Zachav, Yomu Zchayev. Torah says, let him die innocent and not guilty. So, what is this message? The impact of your actions. The Torah is warning us about the impact of your actions. That first he does something small, if we don't stop it, it's going to lead to something worse. The Rabban, I think, amplifies this idea. The Rabban says, "Vala klal ein bo atah chet maves." Now he has no sin of death. He didn't do anything that's worthy of death. "Val shem sofo hu nidon," but he is judged because of what will likely be his end. Kamoshi ski rabaseinu, like our rabbis mentioned. V'zeta v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirau. And that's why the Torah says that this is a public spectacle, that all of Klai Yisrael will hear will hear what happens, and they'll be in fear. Kilohu mas begodo cheto. He didn't die because of the severity of his sin. It's a deterrence for other people, for society to think about what sometimes it's things that seem to be a minor sin can lead to something much worse. V'chein derech ha-kosev she-yazir kein kasher yamisu legeder k'dei she-tiyah b'misas ha-takar l'achem. Sometimes, there's always a tension sometimes in society between the community and the individual. Sometimes, the Torah, they will put to death someone as a fence that will be, it's necessary for society. Ki hizkir kein b'zakim mamre The Rabbad gives a few other examples in the Torah where if we only care about the individual really shouldn't die. But it's when he dies, it will serve as a deterrent effect for society. So, Bezaki Mamre, what did he do? He paskin the Shaila, right? He went against what the rabbi said. You deserve the death penalty? Yes. Rakhu lahaser machlokas minatora. Sher pirachishav. Yeah, we can't have division amongst Klal Yisrael in terms of the rulings. If there is an accepted ruling, that could divide all of Klal Yisrael. Edim zomim shenei rogim v'lo hargu. Edim zomim, these are false witnesses, that they testify that someone killed someone, and then they were found to be false before the person was put to death. So this is attempted murder. They weren't even successful what they tried to do, yet they're put to death. Also by mesis. What's mesis? Someone who entices someone else to worship idolatry. Even if the person did not end up worshiping idolatry, it's attempted enticement, or he finished the enticement, but the other person doesn't worship avodah zarah. So the death is to warn the others. So one approach to understand the message of this Ben Sora Mora is wants to tell, this is an example of the impact of your actions. And sometimes you think this is not something as minor. You always have to think about two steps ahead. This will lead to this, this will lead to this, this will lead to this, or what certain behaviors may likely lead to. The Ramban has another take on this, I think. He, at the very end of the Ramban, he writes, V'gamzo mitzvah mechudashes. Maybe this is like a new mitzvah. It's a novel mitzvah. Or, sort of what Dave was saying, Mevuaros min kabedas avicha v'esimecha v'ishim avav tiro. Maybe it's sort of like an extension of the obligations of kibud and mora, of honoring and fearing your parents. And I think related to this is what the Maharsha says. He writes the following. He says, V'adai ladas Rabbi Shimon, Hatorachiva alav misa shegiya Torah lesof dato, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah did obligate death. Ela dekamar avivimo vayle otzio also bishvil zeliskila shein vayle yegila sof dato v'yomu shesof alachso bidracha farai v'yu chasi balav. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah, like according to Rabbi Yehuda, is like impossible for the Ben Sora Mora because just you're not going to have parents who are same voice, same, you know, same face, same. Stature, same height. Rabbi Shimon is theoretically possible, but it can't be that a parent's going to want to put his kids to death, to court to death, that they're going to say when he starts stealing and he starts drinking wine and being a glutton, that they're going to say, oh, he's going to end up, you know, becoming an armed robber. They're definitely going to have mercy on him. And therefore, it's never going to be that the parents are going to end up doing this. They're going to have mercy on him from taking him out to be stoned because of one, you know, measure of meat. So what's the reason why it's written? Torah understood that for something like this, he is fit to be stoned. Yo, the Torah is telling the parents, think about what will be. And because of this, the parents will give appropriate musar to their children and they will receive reward about this. In other words, you might argue in general, that in general, the Torah is trying to warn us sometimes about the everyone, about all of society, for the impact of your actions. I think the Maharsha and maybe the Ramban's last line are talking about what's the possible outcome if there's no kibud or mora, if there's no honoring or fearing one's parents. In other words, if parents do not assert their authority, to, you know, they see what do you say nowadays? They say the 15-year-olds want to be 40 and the 40-year-olds want to be 15. Right? You know, parents want to be buddy-buddy with their children. If parents do not assert authority, and obviously just be loving and caring, but if they don't teach their children about kibud and mora, respecting authority for parents, that can lead to basically an undisciplined child upbringing, lack of desire for, lack of authority for any authority figure. So could be not simply the broad category where the Torah is warning us about the impact of our actions, but the Torah is telling us specifically about what happens if there's no kibud and mora, the responsibility of parents to give mussar to their kids when necessary. Let me strike that. The Ramban, in his last line, could be talking about an outgrowth of no kibud and mora. The Maharsha is probably telling you about watch for signs when the kids are going on their wayward path. So we can break it into two. In other words, you can say general, you know, Rashi, general impact of your actions, the Ramban's idea, general impact of your actions. Maybe it's an outgrowth where there's no kibud or mora, like the last sign of the Ramban. And the Maharsha, I would say more of, watch for signs when the child is going off the derech. Now there's parents, he's eating a little too much meat, drinking too much wine, he's coming home drunk, he's doing these little things. So the Torah is telling you in Chinuch, watch out for these signs. That's, I think, what the Maharsha is getting at. But the Rabbeinu Bachaye and Kli Yakar have totally different approaches about this. Okay? Now it's not about the impact of your actions, not about the importance of kibud and mora, not about watching for signs when your kid's going off the derech. Rabbeinu Bachaye says the following. Im ken yesh lishol. We need to ask. Why does the Torah need to write something that never happened? Something that doesn't happen. Kids stealing meat and wine, parents bring them to court. Like, what's going on here? This is part of the wisdom of the Torah. Lalamed das es ha'am begodel chiyuv abbas Hashem yisbarach. To teach the people about the importance of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no greater love than a parent for a child. And if a child violates a mitzvah, is a dark castle, that happens. You shouldn't let your love of God should be greater than your love of a child, to the extent that you would be willing to bring the child to Beis Din for Skila, even though it would never happen. Now, even though it never happens, your love of God should be greater than your love of child. Where do we find that in the Torah? That someone who loved his child, but he loved his God more?
Aram.
Exactly. Kuvarba inyan hazeh b'chiyuv godo ava l'Hashem yisparach b'forash b'torah b'yin akeda. This is the akeda. Ki Avram im heyos ava sol she Yitzchak azav hachazaka kibed shebo elav achar zikna v'yeush. That Avram loved Yitzchak ava pichein kishetivo l'hakiv ola torach b'dabar miyad. When he needed to sacrifice, he did it right away. So what's the point? The point is that he loved, your love of Hashem should be the most important value. Again, let me be clear. Both the Akedah and Ben Sora Mora, actually it's a perfect parallel. Because both the Akedah and Ben Sor Mora are telling you that your love of God, if it comes to it, should supersede the love of a child, but it will never come to it. In other words, Hashem at the end of the day told Avraham, don't slaughter Yitzchak. The Torah will never, it will never be that a parent will bring his child to go to court. Ben Sor Mora will never happen. So Torah is simply telling you that as much as we love people in this world, our greatest love that we should strive for should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, when it's never going to be a situation where you're going to have to pick between putting your son to death and God, right? Or sacrificing your son with an Akedah, you know, versus the love of your son. It's never going to be, but it just emphasizing how important our Avas Hashem has to be. That's the purpose.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Why? I'll go back for everything, but the bottom line is, why do parents get away scot-free?
Parents don't get away. What do you mean they get away scot-free? Why are they getting away scot-free?
It seems a lot of the fault is in the parents, how they raise everything else. The bottom line, it will happen. It does happen. The child gets stoned, and the parents walk away.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, so first of all, it never happened. At the end of the day, it's the, you know, if a parent has bad parenting, but the child actually commits the crime, it's the child who has to get the punishment. At the end of the day, it's a difference between bad parenting and actually, you know, or not great parenting or not being responsible in parenting and actually committing a crime. There's a difference, obviously. But again, this never happened. So I just want to tell you that the love of Hashem is so great. Last piece is the Kli Yakar. Let's just read sort of the last. So he wants to say, actually, the Kli Yakar wants to say that maybe about five lines down, he says, the purpose is not for the parents. The message is not for the parents. The message is for the Banim, the sons, that they'll read about this. That means that the children will read this story, read this halacha, and that will scare them from rebelling against their parents. So then he says, "Akashali v'chol Yisrael yishmu." It says, "All of Klal Yisrael will see what happened. They'll listen." V'chol banim hava lo markin tzarich lefachek zekim labanim. If it's only to scare the kids, so why did it say all of Yisrael will hear this? V'sevra Zohar darish parshadil Klal Yisrael. So there's a Zohar. It says, "Talk about all of Klal Yisrael." V'diom mesh ain't tzarich was that. You only need the Zohar. Kigami pshuta shel aparsha yesh musar nifla Klal Yisrael shek nikra banim lakel. All of Klal Yisrael were all called children of God. And there's a concern that they will rely on this, the fact that they're children of God, and say what? Since we are God's children, God will certainly forgive us. If we sin, God's our Father. He will certainly forgive us. And He will forgive us. Sha'ab mevatelim, no, just like a parent forgives the child, or, you know, not is a mevater. He waves, you know, he doesn't care about his. He doesn't. He waives any obligation, you know, that his child has towards him. V'yomru Hakadosh Baruch Hu vatram, and we're going to say that God is a vatran. You know, we should try to keep the mitzvos. Worst comes to worst, it's okay. God's our Father, right? And then he says, V'chein omer Moshe banav mumam. Why are the children called mumam? Blemish, kisamchu al zed. They rely on this. Vazu averos chavilus chavilus vatchu bavim shalim serim biyad midas adim. Apparently, there's a understanding that Moshe refers to Klal Yisrael as people who say, "God's our Father." So okay, we mess up a little bit. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen to us. Al ken kasva Torah shadin din emes. The different Torah says the judgment is judgment of truth. That even the father is obligated to bring his son to court, the Moshe Lemisa, and to give him over to death. And because of this, Klal Yisrael will listen to all this, and they're going to fear Hashem. They shouldn't rely on the fact that they're called banim. Because even in a lower court, father should give his son over to Beis Din. Again, even if it never happened. So the message for the children is not to rebel. And the message for us is that obviously a parent doesn't want to punish his children. God doesn't want to punish us, as it were. But sometimes a parent must discipline his child. In other words, we create this structure, this halachic construct of a parent bringing his son to court to punish him, to demonstrate to us that just because God is Avinu, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be punished. So we suggest it. So it's clear that the Ben Tzur Mora gets punished seemingly much more than the crime. It's more severe than the crime. It's a public spectacle. The parents bring him to the elders. So perhaps some of these requirements are reasons why this never happens, because parents will not bring their kids to be killed. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda, there's a requirement they have to be the same stature, the same voice, so that it won't happen. Rabbi Yonason may say it may have happened, okay, but it either never happened or rarely happened. And we gave five messages, five potential messages of Ben Tzur Mora. Number one, in general, the impact of your actions. Just always think about the impact. Little things can lead to big things. Maybe it's about the possible outcome of no kibud and mora. A basic premise of children following halacha, listening to God, listening to the laws of society. They have to respect authority. And so maybe that's the point why there's such a severe punishment, because if you want to be an ethical member of society, you want to be a God-fearing Jew, you have to respect the authority of your parents. That leads to leads to general respect for authority. Perhaps Torah is also telling parents, watch for the signs when a child is going on a wayward path. Then we said, nothing to do with parents and children. Maybe it's teaching us the importance of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this is like an Akedah moment. Ben Tzur Mora is the halacha of the Akedah moment. But in both cases, it never happened. And the final point is, there's always this give and take between our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God's our king, he's our father, and yes, there are times that we need to look at him as our father, and he's going to have mercy on us. But we shouldn't believe that to the extent that just because he's our father, that we're not going to be held accountable. Because we have this halachic construct in the Torah where we see a child can be held culpable, can be held accountable, so we have to be aware of that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.